Hi, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
Ooh, that was kind of loud. Sorry, everybody. Oh, wow. No, mine was loud.
Oh, that's good. Usually I'm the loud one. And I'm not trying to be. My microphone is apparently better.
Yes, she has the superior microphone. So sometimes
as it should be.
As it should be. So we are here today to discuss Let There Be Light.
But hold on.
Yeah, I got a couple,
I've
too.
I've got a few, yeah.
All right.
Thank you guys for reaching out about your thoughts on Alexander and Carrie. We got quite a few. Mike even read them all on Instagram.
Yes.
So, because he was the one that really wanted to know. The votes are in. No one likes him. Except for, like, one person. But really, everyone hated him.
Yeah, it's funny. And once again, I feel sort of badly because I think, you know, Mikhail Baryshnikov is obviously a talented, charming guy. I don't know. It just...
Yeah, and I don't even know what happens. And I was like, next. I think it's just my response. I just felt it was like the way Carrie was. She didn't seem into it. Anyway, a few more butthole-dons. So Lauren wrote on Twitter to say that another Paul is when they're deciding what to name Brady. Steve mentions Paul.
Paul's a real go-to name.
Yeah, like a real go-to name in the writer's room. And then Patrick on Instagram told me, because he works in healthcare, and he says that they definitely used alphanumeric pagers at that time. It's an easy way to communicate quickly about patients without having to do the whole page and call back, especially when you can't guarantee that the doctor or surgeon is available to call back. With all the advancements in technology, we still use this way of communicating.
And that's kind of what I meant. That's right. What I thought it was when I was saying a pager, where I think you could get more information.
Right. So there's that. And then Nina wrote on Instagram that back in the day when IMDb had a message board, there was a rumor that the performance artist in one was Jennifer Aniston. And she wasn't the only person that said that. A few people were like, I thought that was Jennifer Aniston.
That's funny. I can see there's a resemblance there.
Yeah. So those are my buttholes.
Now we've seen all of or heard all of your buttholes.
No, all of the butthole downs. And thank you guys. Like, this is always so fun to...
interact. So one thing that I wanted to bring up, I know that I've mentioned my friend Kat a couple of times because she's the one that knows restaurants in New York better than I do.
Because we only know about nachos.
Basically, if you don't serve nachos, I probably haven't been there.
Right.
So she, many years ago, had signed up for a contest.
Okay.
It was a contest for Sex and the City, and the grand prize was that you got a trip to New York. Yeah, you got a trip to New York and a Sex and the City tour. So she, you know, entered this contest in 2002.
She didn't live here at the time.
She did not live here.
Okay.
That's my understanding, at least. Hopefully I'm telling this story correctly. So she kind of like forgot about it. And then a year and a half later, I guess her dad called her and said that she got a letter from HBO and that she had won first prize, which isn't the grand prize.
Okay.
But first prize was a signed script. And she sent it to me.
Oh, wow.
I have it. It's sitting right here. And it's signed. You can kind of, I mean, it's, is that Sarah Jessica Parker? She has a different kind of signature.
I mean, that's obviously Kristen Davis.
Yeah.
That's Cynthia Nixon. That's Kim Cattrall. It looks like it says dump.
It does look like it says dump.
It's probably SJP.
Probably. So there you go. And it's from, it's Anchors Away. It's the script for the first episode
have
of season 5.
Have you read it to see like what changed?
I haven't read the entire thing. I was reading pieces of it today and most of it's exactly the same. There's like a voiceover that happens after Richard leaves a message on Samantha's phone saying to meet him at Sushi Samba. And I feel like in the episode, there's a line of like, right sentiment, wrong restaurant. And that's not in the script. So
maybe
I think little things are probably, we should do a dramatic reading of
Anchors Away.
So there you go. So thanks, Kat.
Yeah.
It's fun. I've been looking through it. And it's funny that once again, like, I can hear all of these lines being said because I've watched that episode so many times. And then the only other, like, but hold on I wanted to do was I wanted to do a definitive response to the question about whether or not I thought season 4 was broken up, perhaps because of September 11th.
Okay.
And I can definitely answer that it wasn't.
Okay.
Because the first half of that ended, I want to say, like, August 14th, and it didn't come back until like January or February of the next year. So that definitely had been pre-planned, but it was a, you know, interesting idea.
And also, you left a lot of people on the edge of their seats, Mike, with why you break up season 6 when it was just about a DVD.
Okay, so let's get started because we're covering the episode Let There Be Light. This originally debuted January 4th, 2004.
Mm-hmm.
This was written and directed by Michael Patrick King.
Mm-hmm.
And in his commentary, He calls this episode the beginning of the last season.
Okay, but that's not what you said
last
week. I
know, but I'm just saying.
Last week you made us all think it was just because you were pissed at Best Buy.
It wasn't Best Buy at the time. It would have been like Virgin or something like that. But anyways, I still stand by that reasoning.
Okay.
But I did like that Michael Patrick King backed me up without realizing that he had.
Yeah.
So in the commentary, yeah.
What did I was watching Will and Grace from the beginning, and Michael Patrick King is a producer.
Yeah.
That's all. I was just like, he popped up in the credits. I was like, am I watching the right show?
So we kind of start out with a single gal spends most of her life searching for the perfect male.
Get with the times, Carrie. Perfect person.
Yeah, but that wouldn't have a double entendre.
Right, I get it, but perfect male or female or
a
person.
Single heteronormative. Yeah, we could have gone along.
Right,
ways
but I'm
with
just
this.
Saying, like, no, a single gal doesn't have to spend their life looking for a man. They might not be looking for anyone. They could be perfectly happy.
But we're going for the male thing.
Right, I get it.
So gets some mail. There's a letter from Alec.
Mm-hmm.
And he's inviting her to go for a walk.
Very old school.
And that was the purpose of it.
Right.
That they wanted to sort of like juxtapose it against, say, getting a phone call or getting, I guess now it would be like a text message, which wouldn't have been then.
Slide into her DMs.
Right. So, yeah, he sends an old school piece of mail to invite her on a walk. So we're in Central Park. And it has been, in fact, 3 weeks.
Okay.
So this is the day that Miranda and Steve got back together.
Yay!
But you did predict that correctly. You said maybe when we come back, it'll be 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
Good job, you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I like it.
And I like that Alex is wearing a... I'm just calling him Alex and Alexander because yeah, I'm going to choke if I keep trying to... I like that Al... I like that Al is wearing a scarf with a pop of color that matches Carrie's outfit.
Yeah, first of all, I like Al.
Yeah.
I was going to go with Alec because I thought that was nice and short, but let's just go with Al. That's perfect. Yeah, it's fall. It's fall for the first time, really. So
I
we're
know,
getting
but
different colors.
It reminded me of when... It's very prom, you know. It's like, Mike, I'm wearing a blue dress, so if you could like throw some blue in your outfit.
Yeah, and I think in our prom pictures, there's like a pop of purple that we both kind of did.
And chains.
So we do find out that she did in fact leave him in the street alone that night.
How could you have left me on the street all alone? It still hurts.
You'll get over it. You're a big boy.
Yeah, I thought we knew that.
Well, the as far as the first episode goes, they're kissing, and that was the end of it. So they didn't go home together.
No.
And they haven't seen each other in 3 weeks. And In fact, I guess he was in Holland for work.
And she's never been there. Wooden shoes? No.
It is the land of the wooden shoes.
Right.
And he has candy in his pocket like a creep.
Yeah. He's like, I have milk chocolate or in this pocket, and like makes her get it out. I thought it was going to be something that wasn't just dark chocolate, but just dark chocolate. She takes the smallest bite of chocolate I have ever. I don't even know if she took any of it.
Just sort of like...
Like shaved it with her teeth.
Yeah, she makes a mousetrap joke, and he has an incredible sense of humor.
Yeah, he didn't get it.
Yeah, and this is setting up, I feel like, a thing with them, is that she is funny and he doesn't get it. Like,
yeah, it's like me and you.
Sure. I'm going to say that you're Al in this situation.
Rude.
And he offers her light or dark. And I think she goes with dark.
Yeah.
Which I would as well. I prefer a dark chocolate.
It depends. Sometimes, yeah, I like dark chocolate.
I like the 85% cacao kind of like crazy dark chocolate. Yeah.
Yeah. And Al doesn't like to kiss Carrie anywhere. He likes to kiss Carrie everywhere except her lips, really.
I think they get to the lips eventually.
They do, but like he starts her, but he's always like, it's like a weird like shoulder or something.
So then we get to them searching for the perfect fragrance.
I couldn't get over this whole scene, how bad they must smell when they leave.
I totally have that note later on. Yeah. So for the record, I had always thought that they were in the Sephora across the street from Apple Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not.
Okay.
They are at a store that was called Takashimaya, I believe is what it is.
Okay.
It was on 5th, sort of near in MoMA, and it closed in 2010.
Oh, wow.
But it was like a 7-story, I think, Japanese-based department store that had a very expensive tea room in the basement. But I guess it was very upscale. You couldn't really afford anything there. But I read a lot of stuff about it today. People mourned the loss of it when it closed. I like Samantha's see-through bag.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that?
No.
Oh, yeah. Her bag has like a plastic piece of it so you can like see what's inside.
Oh, fun.
And I guess you want to be careful with what you have in your bag if you do that.
Yeah, but there was also a period of time when like see-through bags were totally a thing.
Definitely.
Ladies, I'm taking a lover. Yes, a lover.
Alexander Petrovsky.
Yeah, I like that Miranda refers to him as the old guy.
Mm-hmm. And that Carrie, this begins her whole taking a lover.
Yeah, we have lover a lot going on in here.
Yeah, and this is also the first episode that really puts them into the digital age. Because Miranda makes the comment that Charlotte emailed her his photo.
Yeah.
And hello, 60. That's where we start that with the older stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then how did you get his photo? Charlotte says, I Googled him.
Yeah.
So it's Google has become a verb. It's really.
And you know, you have to pay. Like, they had to pay Google. They had to get permission. You can't just use the term Google.
Oh, really?
If anyone watches Arrested Development, you'll know that that can be used to comic effect as well. But yeah, like, they had to get permission from Google to use the term and to use, like, a Google page. Yeah, I guess she's not lover ready, and Samantha tells her not to play hard to get with a man that's hard to get.
Yeah, and I just hated this lover thing. It was really.
I feel like Taylor Swift has gotten me on the other side of it now. I can kind of deal with that term at this point.
No, but like the lover.
Yeah.
Be my lover. Well, that's what I was thinking the whole time. But I did think the scene was very fun. Like, you can tell they're having a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, and it's sort of a variation on the women at brunch. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of sitting around a table, they're around the fragrances. Like that Charlotte tries the cucumber basil.
Why would you want to smell like a salad?
Yeah, they're interesting fragrances.
Yeah, this is another thing from commentary that Michael Patrick King had to come up with like 50 different kinds of fragrances because so many that they would use, they'd be like, no, that's actually a fragrance buy. And they couldn't use any fragrances that were real.
Do you ever read the fragrance notes? I mean, I think reading wine descriptions is hilarious.
Hilarious.
But if you ever read a fragrance note from a perfume.
I don't think that I have.
Oh, they're amazing. My friend Renee and I will sometimes just like text them to each other when we find a good one. Because it's like notes of elderberry will dance upon your nose as you are whisked away to an Arctic paradise. And you're like, what the fuck?
Sounds like an adventure.
Yeah, sounds fun. Yeah, they must stink so bad. And then, you know, Miranda and Steve sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G, first comes love. Well, actually.
First came the baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said there's far too much perfume spraying happening.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Yeah.
Carrie says that he is not old. He's the lover perfect age range of early 50s.
That's a good age. They've been around the block and know how to use the cook. Oh, you're riding now.
And of course, Charlotte thinks, I actually wrote, Charlotte thinks he could be more than a lover because Charlotte.
Right.
Because, of course, Charlotte's going to be like.
Well, and especially Charlotte's one of those girls. I mean, maybe we all are. That when it's good for us. We just want it. Like, we are so happy. We want it to be good for everyone.
It'll be good for everyone. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we get to Steve talk and there's more perfume spraying. So much. Yeah. I actually kind of got a headache watching this scene. Because I could just smell all the perfume. Steve and Miranda get on the elevator and they sort of comment on how lucky they are. Mm-hmm.
Very.
And then Robert gets on the elevator.
Yep.
And I wrote, he clearly didn't take this great.
Nope.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
Of course you're not going to take it great. And also, probably why you shouldn't date someone that lives in the same building as you. And I do think it's funny that they get to the lobby and the doors open and Robert gets off.
Yeah.
And they don't.
Yeah, I said, where are Miranda and Steve going?
Maybe they're going to the basement. It does say there's a basement floor. Maybe there's laundry down there or something.
Why do I have awful, uncomfortable, and terrible written up?
Because that's what the three of them together would equal.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Where are they going? And also, I love that there are always older ladies with dogs in the
just
lobby.
Hanging out
you just
in the
like
lobby.
See them in the mirror. Yeah.
So we get Charlotte and Anthony are walking, and Charlotte is talking about some job that I guess she has.
Yeah, once again, Charlotte.
She might be going back to work.
She just means, like, the art world.
Maybe, like, dipping a toe back in the art world.
I'm sleeping and walking. How am I doing that?
That's rude. This is important to me.
And Anthony doesn't care, and I don't fully know why they're friends.
I know it's important to you. You know it's important to you. The homeless guy on the corner of 57th and 7th knows it's important to you. Can we please talk about something else?
Michael Patrick King says he loves them together. They're like his favorite couple. And I guess I get that because they're so different.
I mean, I've had a lot of more so female friends like this where people wonder, how are you two friends? You know, and sometimes it's nice to have someone who's
different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. One note is that if you watch this episode as they're walking and the falling leaves are happening, that's literally a prop guy in front of them, like throwing leaves in their direction as they're walking along.
Oh, how Waiting for Guffman.
Yeah, basically he tells her to stop and look at the lights.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, what? You mean no matter what happens, Harry and I will still have each other?
No, he's like, look at the light. Like,
yeah,
just look
literally.
At the light. I do love the lighting in the fall.
Yeah, when did it become fall? Somewhere between your ovaries and my boredom.
And Charlotte can't think of anything worse than being blind.
Right. I was kind of... This...
I'm very grateful for my sight, for the record, but I can think of worse things.
Yeah, and also just an insensitive comment.
Yeah. So she thinks about volunteering.
Right.
Whatever happened to woke Charlotte?
Well, it's...
It is what it is.
It is what it is. I mean, it's just one of those things, though, that if you were a person who hasn't had their sight their whole life, I don't know. It just seems, yeah.
There you go. So we have Carrie going in for a waxing and getting a quick Russian lesson.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering, how do you say hello in Russian?
Здравствуйте.
Здравствуйте.
Yeah, I know someone who hates this scene because of Carrie's reaction, how she's just like, ooh. I've never been waxed before, so.
Well, and also... I love that, like, her heels are in the air.
That was for comedy.
Okay, because I mean, that seems like a hazard to who's ever doing the waxing.
The funny thing about this scene is that she still has her high heels on.
Yeah.
So very purposeful.
One of my favorite moments at the waxer was when I was there to get my eyebrows done, and someone had messed up in the booking when I had made the appointment and must have put that I was there for a Brazilian. So I was just there to get my eyebrows done, and I'm sitting in, and the woman comes in all business. She's like, all right, take off everything from the waist down.
And you were like,
and I said, okay, but I'm just getting my eyebrows done.
So Miranda's heading down the stairs and Robert is heading up.
Mm-hmm.
And she tries to explain that she and Steve just fell back in love, and it feels like this would have gone better if he had just been reading Carrie's column.
Yeah, maybe he would have known.
Yeah.
And she just said, you know, I never meant to hurt you. And he could have just said, okay, thank you, and walked away. But instead, he did this really weird dance upon the banister.
Yeah, Robert says he's going to send his stud fee. And then this gets awkward.
Yes! Ooh, Robert! Oh, God! Robert! Ooh. No man has ever been in this deep.
And I also wrote, using sex talk against someone is not okay. What you say in the bedroom can't be used against them later.
Right.
Except for by me when telling stories about friends of mine.
Right. Well, that's fine. That's different. If it's funny.
No, I'm not putting it in their face.
No. I mean, the show wouldn't exist if people didn't talk about what happened in the bedroom. Right. Yeah, he just made it awkward. And he was hurt. And that's how he handled it when he was hurt. That's how a lot of men in the show handle things when they're hurt.
Certainly. So Miranda gave Robert custody of the elevator.
Mm-hmm. Why do I have to shit where I eat?
Yeah.
And I wrote, why is Sex in the City my life right now? Because I just had this conversation with someone yesterday where I was talking about how, like, I have a crush right now, but I don't want to shit where I eat. It's not someone at work, and it's not someone in my house because I live with two gay men and just an elderly couple upstairs, so don't worry about that. But it's just someone who's, like, in my life.
Uh-huh.
And
let the guessing games begin.
And if you're listening, not listening, but you know, I'm just having this conversation last night, and then I watch it this morning, and here I am once again in sync with the city. We're on the same cycle.
So she tells Steve that Robert is still crazy in love with her.
And now he's acting out, talking about how I said no man's ever been in me that deep.
Why would you tell Steve that?
Don't tell him what he said. Yeah, that probably wasn't a great idea.
And I think it's just Miranda. What's kind of fun about this little storyline is I think Miranda thinks Robert is crazy in love with her, and it's probably giving her a little bit of a self-esteem boost. We all have those moments, and sometimes they're not true.
Yeah.
But.
So Carrie's at Al's place. Mm-hmm. He has an apartment to one side and a studio to the other.
You have the entire floor?
Not at first, but over the years.
I wrote, his house is fine.
Yeah.
I've actually been to this kind of place. Now, what I will say is this is a set.
Okay.
I was certain they had, like, found a location and filmed in someone's apartment. Like, the idea that this set was built, I don't know, feels crazy to me.
Do you think they built it just for this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they built it on the soundstage.
Maybe that's why it's so open.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, that it's very, very ornate. And he offers to get her something, but she's ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, no, let's go upstairs. And I wrote, I actually really do like open spaces with, like, lots of windows, but I do feel like I would need some kind of window treatment.
Yeah, a curtain.
It's very open.
Very open.
And then she fingers his bum.
Oh, does she?
It's just kind of a, like, he goes down the back of her and she kind of, like, reaches out and...
Yeah, he starts kissing, like, her lower back because that's what he does. Yeah, and then she wakes up to another note, because Carrie Bradshaw wakes up to handwritten letters more than anyone I've met.
In her necklace.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, she has a necklace on. I feel like if I wore something like that. Do you wear necklaces to bed ever?
I actually, last night, I'm wearing right now a necklace that is a lightning bolt. And I, last night before I went to bed, I was like, oh, I can probably leave this on. I'm like, nope. One time my mom was wearing a cross necklace and it stabbed her while she was sleeping.
Yeah, I feel like it'd be really uncomfortable. Yeah. But I guess it looks pretty. So yeah, I wrote, this is another note. Both of these notes that we've seen were actually written by Mikhail Baryshnikov.
Yeah, but why does Carrie keep getting notes when she wakes up?
Downstairs, there are people at work.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I like the idea of a big dish of fruit, but I always worry that it's not going to get used. It's like a huge dish of, I think, pears in the middle of his table.
Maybe they're
not real.
And
I worry about the food waste.
I have a friend who has a huge bowl of fake apples on
really?
His table. Yeah.
Oh, okay. She says, in the light of day, everything looked completely different. And I wrote, no, it still looks pretty nice.
Yeah, it looks the same. It's just there's...
it was just light instead.
And you know what I was thinking is one time I went to a photographer's studio to get pictures done. And he lived there. But he was like a big photographer. And he lived there and worked there, but I didn't realize that when I first went there. And, you know, it was the same type of thing. Like, he had all these computers set up and his office people were working there. And then he went to go grab something, goes, oh, wait, I think I actually have that in our living room. And he opens a door and, like, his family's in there. No one seemed fazed by it with Al here, and no one seemed fazed by it then.
She asked for regular coffee.
Regular coffee is for regular people.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either.
We're just sort of setting up that he's fancy.
Right.
That he has, I mean, I don't think that this day and age a French press is considered terribly fancy. He introduces her to everyone and everyone to her. And I guess if you listen, there's Hindi, French, and Japanese all being spoken in the background.
And if you're watching with subtitles, it says speaking several foreign languages.
Oh, yeah. So Michael Patrick King had to write, like, 5 pages worth of monologue for all three of these actors to be saying, and then they all had to be translated into those languages. So quite the production. And he makes her pancakes and then is off to Amsterdam. And I wrote, she makes an IHOP joke and then gets little pancake fangs. Just her weird way of eating them, like she ends up with like 2 little pieces of pancake sticking out of her mouth.
International House of Petrovsky.
Yeah.
And they just went on about their business totally unfazed.
Oh, honey, they've seen it all.
So Carrie and Samantha are going for a walk. I do love Carrie's hair here. And
yes,
I could have mentioned
too.
It earlier. I feel like we're getting her good hair back.
And I meant to look up where they are. Friend of a Farmer Country
Cafe.
Yeah,
this still exists. It's okay. A 77 Irving Place.
Okay.
Irving is what Lexington becomes
lower.
Under Gramercy
yes.
Park. So, and it still exists. Ooh. I was like, oh, wow, a restaurant that still happens.
We
like, we still
there.
Have that. I know. I looked it up. It looks pretty cool, actually. So Samantha kind of brings the reality of it to Carrie, it feels like.
You don't think you're the first baby battered up for?
No, you're right.
Basically, that's not the first time that these people have seen someone eat pancakes in his kitchen before.
Right. It happens all the time.
Right.
He's a man of many women.
And Samantha kind of misses a man with the moves. She's a little jealous. And Smith is hot, but he's a baby.
Sometimes I don't know whether to blow him or burp him.
Don't burp him.
Don't burp him. And don't blow him now. You've made it weird.
Yeah. And she sort of asks, how were they?
The pancakes? Delicious. Exactly what I wanted. I couldn't get enough.
No, I was referring to the moves.
Oh, delicious. Exactly what I wanted. I couldn't get enough.
And then she sort of asks the question, like, how many pancakes has that kitchen seen? And does it matter? And, you know, this whole lover thing didn't last very long.
No.
Because we cut to Carrie and forearm warmers.
Yeah. Yeah. I said, Carrie, why are you wearing leg warmers on your arms to go to bed? I didn't know. Very Cats.
Yeah.
Musical.
Yeah. I guess it's very.
Patricia Field.
Yeah. It's very Patricia Field. I guess it was her idea.
I wrote also baby's first Google search.
Yeah, so Carrie's looking up Google, looking up Petrovsky.
And we get to a, like, GeoCities-style page
yeah.
that some girl made of the many women of Alexander Petrovsky.
And I remember hearing about this scientific study.
Whenever a woman has sex, her body produces a chemical which causes her to emotionally attach.
I would be curious to know if that's ever been proven or disproven. But I remember
that. Is that a scientific study or just a conversation with us?
It was an actual scientific study. I remember it being a thing. But that was the whole idea that, like, women couldn't have casual sex. And I don't know that that's true.
I mean, I know some women that can.
Right.
And I know some men that can't.
There you go. Gender norms be damned.
Yeah.
We have many questions that lead up to the question.
How do we wind up in the dark? You turned the lights off, idiot.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of light and dark. Once again, sometimes the themes work and sometimes they kind of work. How do we wind up in the dark? I think that it's just, I think to me what this feels like is she was talking herself into something that was never actually going to be possible. Like, if you think about her in the previous season where she didn't even want to have a fling with somebody. And so the fact that she's like, I'm just going to take a lover, wasn't really ever going to work.
Right.
I mean, I know me. I couldn't. I mean, the couple of times that I've been like, oh, it'll be a fun little fling. You know, cut to me 2 weeks later crying in a Duane Reade vestibule. Like, you know.
Oh, Mike.
You know, it was
crying
a rough
in
night.
The kitchen.
Listening to Adele.
On repeat.
That never happened.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not sure what Samantha's wearing here. Like, she looks great.
Yeah, it's like a mesh.
I mean, she looks beautiful, and her body's amazing, and wear what you want. But, like, if someone knocks on the door, do you have a robe nearby?
Okay, I don't think she's wearing this outfit to greet visitors.
It just doesn't even look comfortable to me. I don't know. It's very odd.
Well, do you think that pearl thong was comfortable?
I guess not. So we find out that Smith got invited to a teen posse top 30 under 30 party.
What about Smith's shirt?
Yeah.
It just says, fuck yoga.
Yeah, it was very purposeful. And I would be curious. I'm sure we could find out the answer to this. But part of why Michael Patrick King liked it so much was that he was very curious as to how they would handle it when the show went into syndication on TBS.
They would blur it out.
Right. So I wonder if we could find a picture of that.
Yeah.
For the record, I hate watching the syndicated versions because they always take jokes out. It always feels very incomplete.
When my brother was growing up and wanted to watch RoboCop, and my mom used to do this thing where she was like, we'll tape it, I'll watch it. And then my mom would do her mom editing where she would stop recording it when it got too violent. And my brother said it was just like the opening credits in the end.
Yeah, I used to do that for my cousin because she wouldn't watch R-rated movies, but I loved, like, horror movies, so I would, like, make edits where I'd take out the really violent parts. Oh, so your mom and I have that in common.
The party may have been all wrong, but it was being hosted by Richard Wright.
Richard Wright is a big name in the hotel business.
And it was exactly the certain something that Samantha was missing.
You should go. In fact, I'll go with you.
Charlotte is interviewing to be a guide for a visually impaired person, so she's wearing her professional vest-tie combo.
I didn't get this scene. I didn't understand anything about it.
It's just for exposition.
Yeah, I guess.
It's just to
I
give
didn't even
us the
understand like what the end goal was. I didn't even understand what the end goal was. I didn't understand what the worker was even telling her to do. I thought that was a very strange suggestion.
Yeah, I wrote, so Gigi from The Comeback or Connie from Enlightened tells her to go to a public place, blindfold herself, and have a friend lead her around. I think this sounds like a terrible idea.
Yeah.
So this actress's name is Bane Gibby. She is a, I want to say an Upright Citizens Brigade person.
Okay.
This is her first film credit, but she will, right after this, go on to be on The Comeback with Lisa Kudrow.
Right.
And then eventually be in a show called Enlightened with Laura Dern that I was also a really big fan of.
Try not to take the blindfold off, no matter how uncomfortable you feel, and you'll begin to get a sense of what it's like not to be able to rely on your sight.
But yeah, there's a term for a scene like this, but it's just to give us information. It's just so that Charlotte in the next scene doesn't have to be like, I went and they told me that I should put a blindfold on. We're getting it, because now we're going to cut to Barney's.
Mm-hmm. And apparently, I'm sure you knew this, but that they wanted a Burberry sleep mask and one didn't exist. And they went and asked if Burberry had one and they said, we do now.
Yeah. So this was invented for the show, but then became an actual thing that they sold.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So
this was the invention of the Burberry sleep mask, basically.
Which seems like an invention that didn't need to happen.
Well,
so Charlotte's there and Carrie's cell phone rings. So Carrie's got that phone again.
Yeah. Her bedazzled phone. Her very sparkly. And first of all, Carrie is saying that maybe now she does want this to go somewhere.
Right.
Which, of course, Charlotte loves.
And he calls. And what I would have done in this situation is maybe brought Charlotte to the corner of the store or have her sit in a chair by the shoes.
Or said, hey, girl, take that blindfold off for a second while I get this phone call.
Right. So Charlotte just stands there and then another 100 people just got off of the train.
Yeah.
Like, it was just out of nowhere, all these people are surrounding her. She's a mess. She doesn't even think of how she's affecting other people in this moment. You know?
Yeah, I guess to his credit, Michael Patrick King admits that this is a ridiculous moment.
Right.
But it's just for the comedy of it, where now she's like lost in Barney's and she's in the perfume department trying to help the blind.
Do you need some assistance?
Oh, no, thank you. I'm trying to help the blind.
line.
And she makes her way to the shoes, and there's Carrie.
I swear, I looked and looked, and then I thought, best if she finds me.
Is that Andy Cohen?
It is Andy Cohen.
I'm not a fan. So they're in line at the party, and Samantha tells them they should go to the front, which they totally should.
Uh-huh.
I don't like pushing in front of people.
And the guy at the front of the line thinks it's awesome. And I guess, fun fact, this was written to be a role for a woman.
Okay.
But this actor, they just thought was really funny, so he got the part. And then there's Richard.
Samantha Jones, aren't you a sight for sore eyes?
Yeah, this is the Hudson Hotel.
Because he's not going to let Smith in first, and then
yeah,
she
he
says
lets,
he's
he lets
me.
Samantha through, and then he kind of ignores Smith. Yeah, and once they're in, Richard and Samantha are getting drinks and catching up.
How long have you been babysitting? Says the man hosting the teen posse party. And then he says, I have to, which is... This might be my new tongue twister for, like, acting warm-ups.
Just to get ready.
I have to tongue the taint of these trendy pissants. Tongue the taint of these trendy pissants. Tongue the taint of these trendy...
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Smith comes by and tells Richard that he's an AA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Samantha says they used to date. Richard
As
says
Mike
he...
likes to say, he's not very good with that second A.
How do you two know each other?
We used to go out.
And then I fucked it up royally and lost the best thing I ever had.
And then someone is snotting pretzels out of their nose, so off the kids go.
Yeah, they gotta... I feel like they're under 30, but they've written them to be, like, under 12. The way... Their behavior, you know?
Yeah, I guess it was just Michael Patrick King's idea of how, like, young...
Kids act.
Yeah, the young kids act these days, taking pictures with their phones. So we cut to Miranda and Steve getting off the elevator.
For a guy with no stuff, you got stuff.
Let's get the TV first.
And the TV is broken.
And I say, honestly, Miranda has a much nicer TV anyway.
Yeah, let that TV go. And this is Miranda again. He's in love with me. Be kind. He's still in love with me. Like
Steve, he's crazy in love with me.
Right.
And Steve goes to confront Richard. And I don't know if I want to even read this next sentence, but I'm going to go ahead and speak my truth. This is the only time I'll say that I'm not sure I can go along with Cynthia Nixon's acting choice entirely, but never tell her I said that. She's just going for the high camp comedy of it, which is totally fine, but it feels a little false.
Right, where
but
she's
I guess
just like,
funny.
He
yeah.
loves me. And yeah. then you go up there and there's those girls yeah. and he does not give an F.
Yeah, Richard is clearly over it. Steve tells Miranda that it's going to be okay without telling her what happened, which
right.
good
because
for him.
Steve's great.
Yeah, and unlike Miranda, he's just going to be like, I took care of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. So Carrie is at Al's, and she's greeted by the shoes.
And she put on all of her favorite things to go see him.
Is she done up?
She just has like a shirt with a shirt over it and a hat, like just a lot of things happening.
Oh, I guess that is a thing about this earlier, because they filmed this in the summer. So there was a comment, I guess, when they were trying on perfumes that Kristen Davis was very hot because they're dressed for cool weather, but it wasn't really cool weather. So I guess that's what it is. They're like, put more layers on. We get back to the hotel and Samantha and Richard are headed to the elevators.
Look, this was fun, but where is it going?
Gorgeous.
You go play with your friends and I'll go play with mine.
And you could tell in this moment it's a different Samantha. You can tell that there's just something happening.
Yeah, she says it was fun, but where is this going?
Mm-hmm.
And we get to an awful sex scene in the bathroom.
She just doesn't look happy.
Oh, it's so awful. And he has the line of, you know, I've been down this low before. And we get the voiceover of Samantha hadn't.
Right.
We have Samantha on an elevator. And I honestly think this is some of Kim Cattrall's best work. Even just her on the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
Even before she gets off of the elevator and sees Smith and then has that moment.
I don't know what's wrong with me. I hate myself for doing this to you.
Even in the dark, Smith could still see Samantha. And for the very first time, she saw him.
And I guess there was some discussion as to whether this would make him seem weak, but I don't feel that way at all. I think
no,
it makes
think
him
it makes,
seem so
yeah,
strong.
Yeah,
it's great. And I feel like it is a moment of like looking at him in a different light.
Yeah, and Samantha finally letting go.
Yeah.
And you can see it when she breaks down that it's almost like all of that weight is off her shoulders.
Yeah, it's a great scene. It's a great moment. So Al and Carrie are in bed, and this lover thing didn't last long.
No.
I realized I wasn't really comfortable in Loverville.
So she quickly straightens her hair.
And she goes to a studio.
And he's in there with a blowtorch.
Yeah, I guess I didn't understand what kind of art Alex does.
Yeah, they made it seem like sculpture when they first mentioned him. And I guess it was sort of purposeful of they wanted it to be something that you didn't really understand. Like they wanted his art to be mysterious. And I guess installation was a big thing when this was
right.
happening. And she says that... She says that this has been lovely, and I said, by this, I guess she means the last 2 days, mm-hmm. but she's not cut out for it.
No, she's not that kind of Google.
The pancakes and the other ladies, it's just not for me.
There are pancakes, but no other ladies.
I don't know. I don't love this scene. I don't want to just be a downer about it.
Right, but then he's like, I like you, and, you know, and you're different, and
she
blah,
says,
blah.
Why me? Yeah. And he's like, why me?
And then she just kind of makes a quick change to talk about the art. So what is all this
stuff?
Well,
she asks about
stuff?
The art, what is all of this? But
and he says,
it's too soon to tell. I don't think he's just talking about his art, Sex and the City fans.
Nope.
We yeah. got some real double meanings going on
So I
there.
Guess we have another episode of this guy.
Yeah, he's not leaving quite so soon.
Spoiler.
So I guess I couldn't help but wonder.
I couldn't help but wonder which one of those old ladies with the dog bashed in Steve's TV.
Yeah. Something was going on there. Some one of those old ladies was a Robert fan. I guess I couldn't help but wonder if Carrie really thought that she could have an emotionally unattached affair with someone when it does feel like those days are in the past for her.
Or were they ever in the present?
Right. So there you go. We are in what Michael Patrick King himself says is the final season of Sex and the City.
Sure. All right, everyone.
We'll be back next week.
Bye. Bye.
You can visit us at WeCouldn'tHelpButWonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at WeCouldn'tHelpButWonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWPodcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out TheaterPodcastProductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. And don't forget to change your settings to play in sequential order. We'll be back next week with The Ick Factor. Yeah, Smith
lips
comes by.
Tip of the tongue. Tongue the taints of trendy pissants.
Not very good with that second A. But I guess you're allowed to spoil your own A. Wait. I know I do.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I don't.